If you'd like to turn to the book of Job and chapter 39. Job chapter 39. Knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth, or canst thou mark when the hinds do calve? Canst thou number the months that they fulfil? Or knowest thou the time when they bring forth? They bow themselves, they bring forth their young ones, they cast out their sorrows, their young ones are in good liking. They grow up with corn, they go forth and return not unto them. Who hath sent out wild ass free? Or who hath loosed the bands of the wild ass? Whose house have I made the wilderness, and the barren land his dwelling? He scorneth the multitude of the city, neither regardeth he the crying of the driver. The range of the mountains is his pasture, and he searcheth after every green thing. Will the unicorn be willing to serve thee, or abide by thy crib? Canst thou bind the unicorn with his band in the furrow? Or will he harrow the valleys after thee? Wilt thou trust him, because his strength is great? Or wilt thou leave thy labour to him? Wilt thou believe him, that he will bring home thy seed, and gather it into thy barn? Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth, and warmeth them in dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them? She is hardened against her young ones, and though they were as though they were not hers, her labour is in vain without fear, because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. What time she lifteth up herself on high, she scorneth the horse and the rider. Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He poureth in the valley, rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed man. He mocketh at fear, and he is not affrighted. Neither turneth he back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage. Neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, Ha ha! And he smelleth the battle afar off, and thunder of the captains, and the shouting. Doth the hawk fly by thy wisdom, and stretch her wings towards the south? Doth the eagle mount up at thy command, and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock, and the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she. And we do ask the Lord's blessing upon his word. Amen.
Amen.
If you wanted a title for tonight, it would be Living Amongst Ostriches. And I want to consider those verses about the ostrich. And I know that our brother has recently preached through the book of Job and dealt with this passage. And I'm not preaching to contradict anything that he has said. In fact, we're going to look at the same truth, but from a different angle. This sermon, I read this passage, I suppose, a couple of weeks ago, and was particularly struck by this passage about the ostrich, and you'll see how my thoughts develop. And so it had been going round in my mind, and when our brother said, could I take a service, it was sort of half there in my mind. And so I want to look and consider the ostrich as described in this passage and apply the truth that we can learn from considering this animal to ourselves. Remember, this part of Job is the Lord speaking. We go back to chapter 38 and verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said. The Lord answers Job in this long passage. The answer given to Job, and by extension, the answer is given to us because it's written down and preserved for us. And so we can learn of God's dealings with Job, and we can see by extension how God deals with us, deals with men. We can see God's ways, we can see God's dealing, and we can see how the Lord uses creation to reveal unto us something of his power, of his greatness, of who he is. Gives us an example too of how we can deal with trials and difficulties and doubts by the way we use and apply God's word to the situation that we find ourselves in. Job, as we know, had gone through great difficulty, and then his three friends come and give him counsel and argue and discuss matters. And we can see that Job gets a bit confused and perhaps begins to have doubts. But then the Lord, in his goodness and graciousness unto him, speaks to Job and tells him, reminds him of who the Lord is, reminds him that the Lord is the one that made heaven and earth, and that demonstrates to us the Lord's power. And the Lord here gives us the description of the ostrich. And as I was looking at this passage, it suddenly struck me that the ostrich can represent mankind. The ostrich is a representation of man. And throughout Scripture, we are told to consider creation, to learn the lessons that we can from observing the created world. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say in Matthew? In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, he says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall ye put on? Is not that life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And then in verse 28 we read, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin. We're to consider creation. And in considering creation, we can see God's handiwork. We can learn something more of our Lord. And so we're going to consider a fowl, but the ostrich is not a fowl of the air. And as I said, as a Christian, we're often perplexed by events. Events in our own lives, events in friends that happen to friends or family, events in the land in which we live in, the turmoil that's going on, both political, the murders that seem to be happening every week, and all that's going on, and then wider afield, we see and hear of those floods in East Africa. We hear of mayhem and murder in mosques in New Zealand. And we can be very perplexed. What is our response? How are we to consider? How are we to think about these things? How do we deal with such problems? And this passage, the Lord's answers to Job, reveals the way that we should approach a perplexing situation, the way we should consider those difficulties. By whatever we're perplexed with, whatever is happening, the Word of God will help us through these events. It will help us to strengthen our faith, to build us up, if we consider the Word of God, if we listen to God's Word, if we seek God in what He is doing. As I said, Job had his three friends, and they would be influencing his thoughts and perhaps causing him to look at the situation in a different way. And it is with us. We can have our thoughts influenced by so many things, by so many things that are going on round about. The experts on the radio, our friends, the members of our family. And if we do have doubts, if we are concerned, if we're feeling unsettled by what's going on round about us, the first question we need to ask ourselves, and perhaps challenge ourselves, and to consider, as we read in Romans, Paul writing says, "Be not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." When we consider all that is going on, are we considering it in the light of the world's philosophy? Are we being conformed by the world's thoughts? Or are we letting the Word of God transform our thoughts? Are we letting the Word of God influence the way we think about things, the way that we look at things, the way that we consider things? One example is science. Every week there's an attack on God's Word. They say evolution has shown this. The latest bit of folly I saw, and I only read the headlines because I didn't think it was worth even looking any further past the headlines. But God is man's creation. That men learnt to work together because they created a God that would judge them. And that drove men and women to work together. What utter folly. But if you listen to that, you will be tossed about. You will be unsure of what's going on. The world is influencing your thoughts. And the God that we worship is not after men's imaginations, men's vain thoughts. No, the God that we worship, that we know, the God that has caused these perplexing events to happen, is the God that has created heaven and earth, that sustains all things, that keeps our all things. And so, consider your doubts. What's causing them? Have you been transformed by the renewing of your mind, by God's Word, or are you listening and being influenced by the Word? We should be influenced by God's Word, and God's Word alone. And in the passage in Job that we've just read, God answers and instructs Job, and he goes back, I'm going to say, to the basics. He goes back to creation, back to the beginning. He reminds Job that he is the one that has made the world. And in life, if things go wrong, if you're making a cake and it goes wrong, what do? You go back to the basics. You go back to the recipe and see what you were supposed to have done. Did you do it? And work out what went wrong and consider it. You go back to the recipe. You go back to the Word. And so it is. If things are perplexing us, let us go back to the Word. Go back to the basics and work from the basics up rather than try and work from some problem. Similarly, if something electrical doesn't work, what do we do? Basic things. Is it plugged in? Is it switched on? Is the fuse working, etc.? And so we have doubts and we're perplexed. Let us stop and go back to the basics. Go back to creation, back to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God. That's where the world started. God has always been, and God created the world. Stop and dwell on what the Lord has done. Look around you and see creation. And then we will say with the psalmist, the heavens declare his glory, that we will begin to be revived in our faith, and those doubts will decline, because the heavens do declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And again, as we read in Romans chapter 1, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, be understood by things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Going back to the basics, going back to the beginning, going back to considering the creation account is a good place to start when we're bewildered, when we're perplexed by what is going on. Back to the beginnings, because it's the beginnings that we lay the foundations. And we know if the foundations are not sound, the building is unstable and likely to fall down. And so that's why Genesis is so important, that we have the right foundations, the right basics. And similarly, if you're doubting your salvation, back to the basics. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Christ. See what Christ has done. Remind yourself of what Christ has done. Because our salvation doesn't start with me. Our salvation, my salvation, started with Christ. It was nothing that I had done. And I am to trust Christ fully for my salvation. As I said, back to the basics. Isn't it? When we read John chapter 1, you know how John chapter 1 starts. An echo of the Genesis account. But it's a good starting point even for us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Back to the beginning. And what do we have in the beginning? We have God, God the Creator, but we also have the Word. The Lord Jesus Christ came as the incarnate Word, but we also have the Scriptures, the Word. And so anything that perplexes us, anything that causes us concern, we can get on the right footing if we go back to those basics, if we consider God, if we consider the Lord Jesus Christ, if we consider his written word, and if we study all three, it will strengthen our faith. It will build us up in our faith. Our doubts and our fears will be dispelled as we look at God, as we consider his creation, as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read his word. And so Job is taken back to Genesis 1. And again, as I said, that is the way to be strengthened in our faith, to go back to the basics, and must be continually exposed to the word of God. That way we're not conformed to this world. Our minds will be transformed. As John reminds us, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And so the Lord says to Job, consider the ostrich. I have made the ostrich. It's a strange bird. It can't fly. It can run very fast. And it has some peculiar activities, the way it rears its young. It seems foolish unto us, but the Lord God has made it. And we can learn lessons from the ostrich. And if God was not the creator of the heavens and the earth, then the Lord's reasoning in Job is no answer. If the Lord hadn't created the world, if he hadn't made the ostrich, this argument would be of no benefit to Job. It would be no answer. And so that's the importance, that we know that in the beginning God, and that God created. It's that foundation block for all of our faith. And so the ostrich, it's a bird, and as we know from Genesis 1, birds were created, as we read in the first chapter of Genesis, in verse 20. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heavens." God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters of the sea, and let fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Ostriches are birds, they're fowls. They were created. Not evolved, they were created by God. And so as we consider the ostrich, we will consider that it was created by God. But also, as I said, a type of man. I hope I'm not pushing this point too far. And as you'll see, as we consider the ostrich and see that men behave in a very similar way. But there is that difference between men and ostriches. Man is that special creation. Man was created on the sixth day. Again, the world says that all mankind are just another type of animal. But again, that's a lie of Satan. That is a thought of the world that can confuse us. Let us not be confused. We know that men, or mankind, is that special creation of Almighty God. As we read in the 26th verse of Genesis 1, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. "In the image of God created him, male and female created him. And God blessed them. God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Man made in God's image. Man made to have dominion over the animals, over the world. And so man is different from the animals. Man is that special creation of Almighty God. And as we know in chapter 2, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And that distinguishes us from the animals world. Men have a soul. And so we're not just animals. We're that special creation of Almighty God. And we'll return to this difference a bit later on. But in Job, as we have this description of the ostrich, "Wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth, and warmeth them in the dust, forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them. She is hardened against her young ones, as though they were not hers. Her labour is in vain, without fear, because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. What time she lifteth up herself on high, she scorneth the horse and his riders." And the first reason that men are like ostriches is that the ostrich is firmly attached to the earth. And men are bound to the earth. They don't have any thoughts of heaven, not naturally. They don't consider heaven. They have no interest in spiritual things. They're in the world and they're of the world. They don't take any thought of heaven. They won't lay up treasure in heaven. As I said, they're like the ostrich, earthbound. What they can see is what concerns them. They're not concerned that one day there is coming that day of judgment, that one day they will have to appear before Almighty God. In fact, they will deny, they will mock, and they'll blaspheme that there even is such a God. And so the ostrich, earthbound, just like mankind. And I think the verse that really struck me, as I said, when I was considering this passage and reading it, was verse 14, which leaveth her eggs in the earth, and warmeth them in dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them. She is hardened against her young ones, as though they were not hers. As I said, so much goes on in the news, but I think about the time I was reading this. There have been some reports in the paper of some young children murdered by their mother. And also there was that news from America that some of the states are going to allow abortion right up to the time of birth. How ostrich-like is that? The ostrich lays her eggs and leaves them. It's said that she will incubate them overnight, but then leaves them in the day, in the warmth of the dust. She forgets about them. They might be crushed. They might be devoured by some wild beast, but she's hardened against her young, as they were not hers. And what a description of mankind and the world that we live in. Hardened towards youngsters, to children, to babies. And so, as I said, men are very much like ostriches and children these days. How sad it is. They're hardened. They're hardened to the importance of that young life. So hardened that they will murder it, that they will kill it. And their labour is in vain, just like the ostrich. It's a meaningless existence for mankind. Little value is placed in life. Man is living without fear, just like the ostrich. Her labour is vain, without fear, because they're earthbound. They don't consider heaven. They won't consider God. They're interested in the here and now. They're interested in going off and having a good time and leaving the young. Living without fear, living without God, and not worried about the consequences of their actions. Living an irresponsible life. And the other thing that we learn about the ostrich, she leaves her eggs in the earth, and warmeth in the dust, and forgetteth the foot that may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them. She lays the eggs in the dust and wanders off. Some species of ostrich, I believe, have a communal nest, and so other birds might protect them, might incubate them. But again, I couldn't help but feel that reflects child rearing today, doesn't it? What is the thought of men and women today? We'll have a baby, but as soon as we can, we'll place it in a communal nest. We'll send it as a very young baby to a nursery. We'll let someone else look after it. We will let a stranger nurture it. We're not really concerned what goes on, but we'll hand the responsibility to someone else. A child placed in a nursery before it's weaned, and so the mother can go back to work. As I said, no responsibility, just considering the here and now. No concern about what that child is exposed to, the dangers. The Arabs had a saying, more foolish than an ostrich. And surely that is the way that so many men and women live with children these days. They're not concerned how they're raised. They will farm it off to someone else. They will farm it off to a state-run nest. And as Christians, what is our responsibility? We're to raise and nurture our own children. That's the best way of raising children, to be raised by two loving parents in a Christian home, in that nest where the parents can protect, where the parents can keep an eye, where the parents can influence the way that that child is brought up. You can be sure that if the child is passed off to that state-run communal nest, it will soon be conformed to this world's view. And so the way the ostrich raises its young is utter foolishness. And so the way that many children are raised today is utter foolishness. Even the state saying that children, that families don't need to be a mother and a father, a husband and a wife. Children can be raised in all sorts of peculiar and strange ways. What utter foolishness. And so we're not to be like the ostrich. We can learn the lesson from the ostrich, the way that we care for our children and the young children. And then there is the chance for that communal activity. Members of the church can take an interest in the way that the young children are brought up. We can pray for the parents as they raise their children in this age. But it's not a communal nest. We help. The parents have that responsibility of raising up their children. And then the other thing about the ostrich, just to jump on to verse 18. What time she lifteth up herself on high, she scorneth the horse and her rider. The ostrich can run at a tremendous speed. It can outpace the horse. And you talk to the man or the woman in the world, and what do they say? We can do it our way. We can save ourselves. There is no day a judgment coming. If we are judged, I will be able to declare that what I have done is good and acceptable, or that I will be able to reason with God. Oh, the folly of men relying on their own strength, because one day there will come that day of judgment. One day the ostrich will be snared in the nest. One day the ostrich will be brought down by a wild beast. And so it is with men. They think they can get by their own strength, be it physical, financial strength, or their own wisdom, their own intelligence. The ostrich relies on its strength, and so does man. But why is the ostrich like this? Verse 16 and 17 says, she is hardened against her young ones, as though they were not hers. Her labour is in vain without fear, because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither has he parted to her understanding. The ostrich is an ostrich because the Lord has decreed it. The Lord has ordained that that is the way the ostrich behaves. A mystery to us, but the Lord has a purpose in the way the ostrich behaves. We can't fathom it, but the Word of God tells us that He has made it. In God's wisdom, He created the ostrich. In God's wisdom, He has created all other animals. In God's wisdom, He has created man. As I said, men, though, are different from animals. Men can know wisdom. Men can know understanding. The ostrich can't. The ostrich will never have wisdom or understanding. Men are different because God created man in His own image. Men are different because we have a living soul. Man was created with that soul, and so has responsibility in this world. The Lord has given men responsibility to have dominion in the world. The more the Lord has told men to obey His commandments. And that is why we're different from the ostrich. But just as the Lord God made ostriches and has hardened them, so men have been made by God. But we are responsible for our actions. We know how that soon after Adam and Eve had been created, they disobeyed God. They listened to Satan. They were expelled from the Garden of Eden, and the whole of created world fell with them in their sin, because of their sin. Sin entered the world. The wrath of God came upon mankind. And as Ephesians tells us in chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, amongst all whom also we all had our conversations in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. After the fall, we became children of wrath. We were following after the power of the air. We walked as children of disobedience. We followed the lusts of the flesh. We had no interest in the Lord God. We were like those ostriches, devoid of understanding, devoid of wisdom. The wrath of God had descended on Adam and Eve and mankind because of sin. They were cursed and wandered about, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. They were children of wrath. And as Galatians tells us in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Adam and Eve didn't do as God commanded, didn't do His law, and so they fell, they sinned, and God's judgment, God's curse was upon them. And that's the world that we live in. Men and women in sin and iniquity, men and women cursed, the wrath of God is upon them. Men and women behaving like ostriches, no wisdom, no understanding. As we read in Lamentations, the daughter of my people is become cruel like the ostriches in the wilderness. Summing up of the world, it's a cruel world. It's a world in a wilderness. As we've seen, the ostrich is hardened against her young. But But if we read God's word, we shouldn't be surprised. If you go back to the accounts, the accounts of Moses and Pharaoh, what do we read? But how that Pharaoh's heart was hardened by Almighty God. But God was working out his purposes through the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. He did deliver his people. He did cause the Egyptians to be destroyed. He caused his people to leave Egypt. God was working out his purposes, even though it may appear strange that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And Deuteronomy, just another example, Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 30. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him. For the Lord thy God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into thy hand, and appeareth this day. The Lord hardened the heart of Sihon, king of Heshbon. The Lord was working out his purposes. Perhaps they couldn't understand why he wouldn't let them pass, but God said it was because he hardened his heart for that specific purpose, that he was going to demonstrate his power and his judgment upon them. And so the Lord knew the beginning from the end. And so it is with the ostrich. Heart hardened, hardened against her young, but the Lord has done it for a purpose. And so when we experience difficulty, we experience people with hardened hearts, people in their wickedness and their sin seeming to get away with so much. Don't despair, because the Lord has made them as such. The Lord knows what he is doing. We're to go back to the basics and to remind ourselves that the Lord God has created them. The Lord God is working out their purposes in their lives. And if we observe them according to God's word, we too can be given a bit of wisdom, a bit of understanding as to what is going on in their lives and how the Lord is working out his purposes. We might not see it straight away, but we can rest assured that Almighty God is working out his purposes. We're not to despair. We live in a very sin-sick world. We see all sorts of things going on round about. But again, what does the Word of God tell us? What does the Word of God remind us? The first chapter of Romans says, from verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonour their own bodies between themselves. God is judging this world. God has given them up to their own lusts. Men and women think they might be doing their own thing, but the Lord God has given them up, has allowed them to run riot, because he is working out his purposes. And some of those purposes are for judgment. Men will be left without excuse at that day of judgment. And so when we see things waxing worse, we don't need to despair. We just need to remind ourselves that it is the Lord God that has made things. The Lord God is sovereign. The Lord God is working out his purposes, because we know, as we read at the end of Romans 1, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. There is that day of judgment coming, the Lord God is working out his purposes, and there will be no excuse. And the Lord knows what he is doing. As I said, he's working out his purposes. And again, we shouldn't be surprised at the wickedness that is round about us. As Jeremiah reminds us about the heart of man, it's wicked and deceitful. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at the end shall be a fool. Wickedness does abound. We shouldn't be surprised, because the heart is deceitful. But it's the Lord that searches the heart. The Lord gives to every man according to his ways, as the fruit of his doing. And again, we have that reference to creation. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so the Lord is working out his purposes with men and women in this world. We hear of wickedness. We hear of these shootings. We hear of these murders. Are we listening to the pundits on the radio that say these things are happening because guns are too readily available? Are we hearing because not enough resources are spent on youth work? We know it's because the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We know that these things will happen because men are fallen. We know that these things are terrible because they're contrary to God's law, to God's commandment. But the other thing that should also amaze us, as the ostrich laid eggs, some were reared. Some did go on to become fully grown ostriches and lay eggs as well. We should marvel that wickedness is not even worse. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is good. That the hand of wickedness is indeed restrained. That there isn't greater wickedness in this world. The Lord was merciful to the ostriches. Not all the eggs were trampled underfoot. Not all the eggs were destroyed by wild beasts. Some did go on. And so we live in a world that is wicked, in wickedness. But the Lord is merciful that wickedness is not running riot, that men are, even in this day and age, restrained because of God's merciful hand. And as I said, similarities between the behaviour of men and the ostrich, but there are differences. Man, as I said, created in the image of God. Man having a soul, man having responsibility. And the other big difference is that the ostrich will always be an ostrich. The ostrich cannot change. The ostrich is that earthbound bird. That bird deprived of wisdom, void of understanding. But men can get understanding, can obtain wisdom. Man can change. And indeed, each one of us is a testimony that men can change. For once we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were earthbound. We had no interest in spiritual matters. We had no interest in worshipping God. We weren't concerned with laying up treasures in heaven. But one day, the Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself and we were changed. As Nicodemus was told, you must be born again. Man can change. To be born again implies that there is a change. Or as Paul, writing to Corinthians, says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so, in answer to that question, can a leopard change his spots? The leopard can't change his spots. The ostrich can't change and fly. But man can cease ostrich-like behaviour. He can cease being that fool that has said there is no God. He can obtain wisdom and understanding. Again, as we read in Job, God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. If God deprived the ostrich of wisdom or didn't impart understanding, the converse of that is that God can grant wisdom and grant understanding to men. But it's all God's prerogative. It's nothing that we can do. It is a gift from God. And so we live in a world full of ostrich-like behaviour, and we might become despondent by the state of affairs in our family, in the neighbourhood, in the town, in the land in which we live, in the world. But remember, the Lord created the ostrich and all his foolish ways, but the Lord has also created men. And so there is hope that men can change, that men can be born again, that can become that new creature in Christ. And so when we hear of all the murder and the mayhem that is going on, are we going to be like the ostriches of the world and clamour for more laws, more restraint, more spending, more security, more police? If we do, our thoughts have been governed by this world. We're conformed to this world. Rather, our response should be, we should pray that the gospel will be preached, that lives will be transformed by the gospel, that men will be granted wisdom and understanding, that the Lord would open their eyes, that indeed men and women would be born again and added to the church, that they would see great and wonderful things out of his word, that they would look at creation and see things that Christless eyes have never seen, the flowers in the glory of their creation, to see in the beginning God, to see how the Lord God has created his word, to realise that in the keeping of his commandments there is great reward. And so, as I said, we live amongst the ostriches, but whilst we do live amongst the ostriches, let us learn these lessons from Job. Let us consider all the events in our lives, all that goes on, that in the beginning, God, that he has created all things, that he has sustained all things, and that he is working out his purposes. We say, we confess, that we believe in the sovereignty of God, and so let us live our lives in the light of this glorious and wonderful truth. And when doubts and attack assail us, let us return to the basics. Turn back to Genesis. Turn back to the living word. Turn back to the written word, and consider all things in the light of God's word. Amen. Our final hymn is hymn number 83. It's just that last verse of that passage in Isaiah that says, "The saint shall mount on eagle wings and taste the promised bliss till their unwearied feet arrive where the perfect pleasure is. The ostrich won't, but we can be born again. We can mount up on eagle's wings. We can soar to heaven." Hymn number 83. Thank you. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.